You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Alan Frame in New York. Alan, thanks so much for being with me today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
Alan, what are you working on now, or what are all the things in your sphere of thinking and working right now? What's happening at the moment in your studio, and I guess what are you preparing for as well in terms of shows?
Well, next week I'm going off for a six week artist residency in Russia, in St. Petersburg, and then in Ekaterinburg, where I've been previously, but it's been about 18 years. And then while I'm there, a show is opening here in New York at Gitterman Gallery on June 7th. The reception will be when I come back on June 20th. And that show is recent work that I made in Italy last year when I was doing a residency, and this year sort of completing some pieces. And it's called Suddenly. The title comes from Tennessee Williams' play Suddenly last summer, because there's a piece in the show that is inspired by that play. I shot the work in Italy last summer and have produced it here. And there are five new black and white images and two found flea market pictures that constitute that piece. The other big piece in the show, which is also a combination of my work and found flea market pictures, is the title of the piece is Plein Soleil. It's inspired, I wouldn't say it's inspired by, but the piece has affinities with the René Clément film from 1960 called Plein Soleil, or it was released in the U.S. as Purple Noon with Alain Delon, and it's based on Patricia Highsmith's novel, The Talented Mr. Ripley. And it's some pictures that I took at a beach resort on the Mediterranean in Italy, and with some young photographers that I know, in color. And a large part of the piece is a collection of flea market pictures that I got the week after I had been to this place. And I got them in Rome, and they're all about 40 black and white small pictures about one guy who is depicted on the sea in a boat in his bathing suit on the beach with his friends in the 1960s over a period of about 10 years. But they're all of him. He's an attractive guy, and it's like an archive around him. So that's the sort of center
of the
piece.
And so you found all those images somewhere.
I found all of this right after I had been to a place that is depicted in some of those photographs. And I was like, wow, I'm going to combine that with the pictures that I took.
And how did you do that? How did you combine them with the images you took in terms of
The found pictures are all individually framed. They're black and white and faded color pictures from that time. And interspersed with them are six iPhone pictures that I took of the two of the people that I was traveling with, who are both young photographers who are based here. But one of them is an Italian guy from Rome. The other one is an American girl from here. And flanking all of that, which is, it's a wall piece that's about 15 feet long. Flanking the edges are larger two single color pictures from that weekend of the guy Eduardo and the girl Danny. It's Eduardo Cozzani and Danny Lefnow, who are two photographers who were in the same year at ICP a couple of years ago. I taught them both, and then when I was in Italy doing a year in a residency, Eduardo, who's from Rome, came there several times to have shows, and Danny came a couple of times just to, you know, join him as a friend. She came with her boyfriend the second time, and I curated a show in Rome that included them in it. So they're sort of characters in this piece, but it's not, when I shot them, they weren't staged, but I'm using those pictures in this overall sort of construction that is tied into the narrative of this guy, Giuseppe, from the 60s. And the show, there are also six pictures from Italy last year that are being shown as single 30 by 40 color photographs. And this is
so,
how I've been working.
So some of that's going to be, so that's the method you've been working, and some of that's going to be in the upcoming gallery show as well.
Right.
At Gitterman Gallery.
Yes, all of that's going to be in the Gitterman show. And it's a similar approach as my last show, which was last fall at Pratt Institute in Brooklyn. This combination of constructed big wall pieces full of found photographs that pertain to single families or, you know, yeah, that are grouped, and then I do interventions into them that vary from piece to piece. It could be text, or it could be my new photographs, or something like that.
So of course, I mean, this kind of work seems very well suited to a book, but in terms of how it's also collected and exhibited, these are pieces that often they have to come together, don't they? Buying one image isn't that simple with your work. In the show that you're talking about that's coming up, I would imagine a group or not diptychs really, but something close to that is what has to be collected, isn't it?
Yes, you mean how does someone approach them as a collector?
To understand
how does it break down,
live with those, because there's you're talking about the conceptual framework about how all of these fit together for an exhibit,
right?
But then how do they live alone or in pairs, or
so the big wall pieces, which have, you know, the last ones I've made all had about 50 individual pieces, and they are sold as one conceptual piece, but also in the new ones, the two larger 30 by 40 color pictures that are on the edges of it are I'm additioning in a different size. So the size that's shown in the wall piece is unique to the wall piece and as part of it, but I'm selling those two sort of flanking images in a larger size that's additioned, but not shown as the larger size. Is that clear?
That's clear. So they're sold in different ways. Some of them are sold as a pair or individuals or quite a large grouping altogether, if that's how they're
meant
to be. Yeah, I ask that because that's interesting. It's also a way, it's important to the kind of consumption of your work, if that's okay to use that work, it's one thing to see them at an exhibit, but also as they move to different exhibits, or just as an artist in terms of presenting work, how you're framing them conceptually is very important. Right.
And the show that I had in the fall at Pratt, there was also a wall of single black and white pictures that I made in the 90s in Italy that pertained in terms of content, which were their edition and they were being sold individually. Because I didn't expect to sell these big wall pieces, since I'm not known for that. It was the first time I was presenting work that was made that way. I've been thinking about doing it for years, and it started from some work that I made around 1990 that was like simple diptychs with text. But then I didn't work that way for many years, and I've been trying to get back to that. And finally, I'm now on a roll with that approach.
And
but it's much more expansive than the way I originally did it.
Right. So that's exciting. A lot of things are happening with images and how you're approaching them. To talk a little more about that before I move on to another medium. Over the years, and you've been doing work related to what you're talking about now since the 90s, 80s, and perhaps earlier, have your cameras changed over the years? I imagined, of course, they have, because you started out with analog forms, and are you still using those kind of cameras or art format
or
digital?
I'm using an analog camera and film and making C prints, darkroom color prints from the negative, and also black and white medium format darkroom prints. But I'm also using an iPhone a lot and am using those prints also in the work. But I'm not using any kind of digital camera in between.
It's either
medium
35
format or
large
iPhone.
Format film or
yeah.
iPhones.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting.
And I mean, for years, in the 70s, I used a medium format camera sometimes, but then I just started using 35 millimeter in the 80s. And so for 20 years, I only used a 35 millimeter with one 35 millimeter lens. And, you know, developed my film, made the prints myself, shot one kind of film, high-speed, grainy, black-and-white film from the late 80s until, you know, 2003. That's all that I shot, that one type of film, one type of camera, one lens.
And was that 35 millimeter too?
Yeah. And
there were film or something, yeah.
Yeah, it was T-Max 3200. When they started making that in the late 80s, I started using it, and then I just dropped that.
So I want to
because
ask you a little bit about you.
I was working in a lot of low-light situations that it was conducive to.
And, you know, you've done so much throughout your career as an artist, collaborations with, you know, David Wojnarowicz and plays and other things. I wanted to ask you about specifically writing plays, because that's something you've done not that long ago. When did that happen first, and how did you move into that as an artist, writing a play?
So the first show that I had in New York after I moved here in 77 was around 1980-81. And it was up for a few months, and I had different special evenings and included other people's work in it. But the whole experience of it was disappointing. It was kind of like, I just expected more feedback, more dialogue with people. But I, you know, experience that thing that, you know, visual artists can tell you. It's like hard for people to articulate what they feel about visual work a lot of times. And so around the same time, somebody invited me to be in a play. Gary Indiana invited me to be in his play, The Roman Polanski Story. And the cast was full of these downtown cult actors. Jack Smith was at a rehearsal but dropped out, but he was replaced by Taylor Mead. And the painter Bill Rice.
That's an amazing cast, and of course Gary Indiana. That's kind of a fascinating opportunity.
Cookie Mueller, right, Cookie Mueller and Bill Rice and John Hayes and all these interesting people. So, you know, I wasn't that interested in performing, but I was really interested in being around those people. And so then I was in two plays by him with that sort of cast, and it made me want to direct. So I directed a friend's play, and then I, with Kirsten Bates, I co-directed and adapted some of David Wojnarowicz's writing. And it was, there were several productions. The first one was in a garden in the East Village, in the garden of the painter Bill Rice. And Bill was in it. And Bill was starting to perform in a lot of downtown work, and theater especially, and some films as well. And Nan Golden was in it, and Suzanne Fletcher. And it was before David was very known. And it was before Nan was very known. And, you know, it was a small kind of production. But we did it 2 years later at a theater in Brooklyn, and it expanded to a cast of about 15 people. That included Steve Buscemi in his early days. And then I moved to London for 2 years and wrote extensively about experimental theater, and was seeing every kind of theater. And I co-wrote a play there with the writer Bertie Marshall and directed him in it, performing himself and the role of his mother. And there were two other actors performing a variety of
roles. So that was the first time you wrote. Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, how you got into it. So suddenly you're writing.
The first time actually was before I went to London. I started writing a play myself that I intended to direct. And then I wrote it, and I went to London and then did that project with Bertie. And so I had the experience of writing about my own life, you know. But that play has never been produced, and I never tried to do anything with it after I came back from London. Instead, I started doing some experimental theater pieces using slide projection, using pictures by my grandmother and my own pictures about people in my family, using interview material. But just these sort of very low-tech, low-key productions, or just nights at St. Mark's Church or the space called Here. And then I stopped. And then I just went back to photography. And about 7 years ago, I started writing a play again, and I worked on that for about 5 years, and then started having readings of it. So, and at the moment, that play, it's a full-length play about things in my family, Mississippi, over the last 10 years. That is, you know, I've had a few readings, and I've sent it to a few people, but it hasn't been produced.
But is that the goal with it? You would like to have that produced?
Yeah, very much like to have it produced.
And
yes.
If it's produced, what kind of a production will that be? Is there a lot of actors?
Well,
in there?
I don't see myself directing it. I had such a great actress, well, an actor reading the main roles and the readings, that I thought that if I can't get anything to happen, if I can't get this produced, maybe I should direct and produce it myself, because this cast is amazing. But I really haven't thought of going back to directing at all. I just wanted to, in terms of theater, I just wanted to write and find a director to work with. And I'd very much like to see it done. It's so, two hammy roles for older actors. The character based on my mother, who's 86 years old, and a character based on my older brother, who's in his mid-60s. And the iconic Southern types who are living together in the country, spiraling into a kind of old age dysfunction and their narcissism.
And so that's exciting. I mean, that's a big production that's been in the works for years. And does that also, do you think, weave into your photography at all? Since those are in a sense parallel projects, I mean, it doesn't have to, but that one is very autobiographical.
Right.
Does that also relate to the current exhibits that you're doing?
Well, when I was writing that, I was barely photographing. I basically, took a hiatus from photography in the process of writing that. And then I got this residency in Rome, so then I plunged back into photography, but in this more conceptual mode that I was describing earlier. And I would guess that the connection that they both have is that they're really expansive, you know, like these wall pieces of 50 individual works together. It's sort of like the play, and the play is like so many words. The characters, you know, really are monologues who have a lot to say at any given point. And so it's very detailed and very expansive.
Well, in the photographs, the way you described even the installation at Gitterman at the gallery, it sounds like in a sense the images are talking with each other, almost like characters, or
right,
reaching
exactly
them.
Yeah, they're kind of they're implicit narratives in each one, and characters, and there's this kind of you know, going back and forth between real life and something imagined, in a sense. And in the new show, one is based on a play and the other one is inspired by films. So I feel like, you know, my biggest influence is film, but theater has also been a huge influence. And this show then has like that equal kind of influence from theater and film, from Tennessee Williams to Godard.
Well, that's exciting. There'll be, of course, links in here to the show, and the residency in Russia also sounds really exciting. But before I ask you the last question about what you're reading, what's happening in Russia that sounds like an exciting residency just because it's Russia, but is there a particular project you're thinking about for there, or will you just
go
there and see what happens?
Russia is so relevant for Americans today.
Right.
But what I'm doing really has nothing to do with any of that. I went there four times between 2000 and 2003. To lecture about photography and teach photo workshops through the organization CEC ArtsLink, which is based in New York and promotes exchanges between Eastern European countries, former Soviet republics, and U.S. artists and curators. And I went to St. Petersburg four times and many other cities in Russia doing all of that. But now it's been almost 20 years. And when I was there before, Putin had just come to power, and now he's been in power for, you know, all this time. So I expected to be, you know, to feel different in some way. I'm curious about that. But what I'm concentrating on is the kind of art scene in St. Petersburg. I'm giving one lecture in a contemporary art space in St. Petersburg, and then making studio visits and just photographing people that I meet who will primarily be in the arts, but not necessarily limited to the visual arts. And then, so I'm spending a month doing that, and then I'm going to Ekaterinburg, which is way east in the Urals, Russia's third largest city. And I've been there a couple of times too, doing the teaching. But this time, I'll just be making pictures, but doing the same thing, more or less, that I'll be doing in St. Petersburg, which is just seeing what's up with the arts.
Right.
And photographing in response in some way. But it's very open. I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do. And looking for material.
Yeah. And looking for material there, you mean, to be inspired by material there. To see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And literally looking at things in flea markets, you know, and vintage stores. Just old things. In the last, you know, like 5 or 6 years ago, I started buying a lot of mid-century art through eBay from Eastern Europe, and hoping to use some of that in future pieces.
Alan, it's great talking to you. I'd love to hear what you're reading at the moment.
Oh, so my favorite new writer is the French writer Edouard Louis. And his third book has come out, published by New Directions. And I've loved his two previous books. And this one, which is called Who Killed My Father, also I think is just incredible. Mm-hmm. And his first book, which is an autobiography, you know, a very compressed autobiographical novel about his growing up in rural France, you know, has the character of his father. And this later book, he really dwells on the character of his father and his experiences in his life with his father, and just talking about the kind of intense and brutal relations that occur in a situation of deprivation and poverty in the countryside. And I love his voice, his tone, the compactness of his writing, and his intensity.
Alan, thank you so much for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you. It's been wonderful. Enjoyed it. Thanks a lot.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.